recording will be for the Emory County School District Board of Education regular meeting and also public hearing for the 2011 tentative budget and the 2010 final budget on June 22nd, 2010, beginning at 7 p.m. at the Emory School District office in Huntington, Utah.
We welcome you to the board meeting. We have all of our board members present, and Superintendent Pritchard and Jared Black, our business administrator. So with that, we will go ahead and start by having a pledge of allegiance, if you all please stand.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God,
indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. We will start by having a presentation on UTIPS's UTIPS, is that how you say it? By John Crawford.
Good evening. Normally this would have gone out in the study packet, but you're going to see us for the first time tonight. That's okay. At the end of the review period, whenever you do that review of this document and have questions, call me or email me with your new email. Or your old one. The other case may be.
UTIPS is an acronym. We have lots of acronyms in education, as tonight. This one stands for the Utah Program Improvement Planning System. It's in fact the audit mechanism, the audit arm of the special education department at USOE, and it's a process we go through now continuously. 4 years of self audit and then 1 year of on-site audit. When I first started many years ago, we receive an audit about once every 3 years. They come in, easy on us, if you will. I'd write him a letter, and that would be the end of it. Under the new system, thanks to the feds, we have a very lengthy process, and like I say, it never goes away. We have 4 years of self-audit with an on-site audit. This last February, I recall, end of February, we had the folks down for about 3 days. I think they interviewed and were in all the schools, but two unlucky schools were not a part of the process. And it covers such things as interviews with classroom teachers, parent focus groups, principals, or data service providers such as occupational and physical therapy, speech language pathology interviews, school psychologist interviews, LEA, special education directors, preschool teachers, student focus groups, plus the audits on the records, which are very extensive. The document before you is the executive summary, about 6 pages long. First 3 pages cover the strengths in the 5 areas that are assessed, and then the remaining are all of the audit gains, if you will, of non-compliance on the paperwork that are part of our files. Right, Mrs. Blair?
Mm-hmm.
It's quite an extensive process, and in fact, most districts have actually had to go to a hiring, if you will, of a part-time person to help with the compliance. Mm-hmm. I think Carbon currently has 2 full-time and 2 half-time people that do their record checks. I have a half-time person, and then Ms. Blair used to help a little bit with that. They have 12 hours. It is quite a process, but it's for the best. It helps with the improvements for the kids and the resource students with disabilities. And overall, I thought the visit was very well received as far as the state was concerned. They were very pleased with our progress, and I don't know how you felt about it, because you were there for part of the outreaching as well as the in-briefing, and I think that
they were extremely complimentary. They were extremely pleased with, even though that when you look at it, it seemed like there's a long list. Most of them are little
dates.
A signature here, a date there, so it's. But the report to me was that it was things were going quite well.
Yeah. public health probably has
these paperwork items that will be done and then reported back to the state, which is being done right now.
Exactly. So although it looks like a lengthy list, it is not. That's pretty common. It would be a lot longer had we not had our compliance person. Mrs. Roush helps out a lot with that. And she and I have long meetings regarding compliance, so we try to keep up on all of that. And so at the end of that process, the reason why I'm here is that we simply share this with you and the board in an open meeting so that, that's part of the process, and so that's why we're doing it this night. So like I say, call me. You've got a long agenda today, tonight, I should say. Let me, if you have any questions, let me know.
Thank you for
that.
Thanks for what you do. You're obviously doing a lot of work that other people do in other districts, so thank you.
Well, he said if he ever killed over tomorrow, we'd have to hire three people.
So don't do it, John.
Okay, I won't.
Okay.
You know what John does.
Yeah, you do. Okay. Hold on. Okay, we go to our public hearing portion of our meeting tonight. We need to have a motion to adjourn to regular meeting for a public hearing for the purpose of receiving public comment on adoption of the final legal budget for fiscal year 2010.
So moved.
The current year that we're in.
Right. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay.
Lightness.
Jared's going to use the TV screen, so sometimes we have to turn sideways to see what the information. For those who may not be aware of the current year that we're just finishing is fiscal year 2010. The year next year is fiscal year 2011.
For any of you who are interested, and I know it makes for great reading, there's a copy of our budget on green paper next to the other on the table. You're welcome to take one. I'm just going to, even though this is really the hearing for our fiscal year 10 budget, I'm going to talk about both fiscal year 10 and 11 at the same time, if that's okay. It just makes it easier. So, one civil end.
That was good timing.
I just put some comments here for the basis of our tentative fiscal year 11 budget, and this is more for the board than for the rest of you who are here, but Jackie and I were literally working on updates to this until 5 p.m. today, so that's why you have a different budget document there. We want to get as much as possible the very final budgeting for fiscal year 10 because that's what we're passing. And even though we don't finalize all of our expenditures until August and September, those still have to fit within our budget that we've passed now. So we try to be careful to make sure that our budget is appropriate for what we're anticipating our expenditures will end up as. Our assessed valuation is $1.8 billion in the county. This is a very current number, just came out a couple of weeks ago. And just to give you an idea, last year's was about 1.7, give or take a little bit. The growth in the county was $70 million in assessed valuation. The majority of that, obviously, is in the well, centrally assessed, which is like the power plants in the county. They account for the majority of that value. Our estimated fall enrollment is 2328. I have some numbers on employees there. Number of funds, I dropped this from 7 to 6 simply because we won't be using our debt service fund next year. If you remember, we've made our last payment of debt service. And by law, we can carry any fund balance we have in that fund over to capital outlay once we've had this public hearing. It's something that we apply to the State Office of Education for, and we're hoping they will approve it. It's in law, so I think they should. But if I remember right, that's $30,000 or $35,000 that has accumulated in that fund over many, many years. that would be transferred into our capital outlay fund at the end of the fiscal year. So, are there any questions on that? Number of programs, and this is just an estimate. Last year I actually counted them, and this year I estimated because I didn't have time. So, but we do run a lot of programs in the district, and it makes for fairly complex accounting. Each program has to be solvent and balanced and everything by itself at the end of the fiscal year. So, thanks to Jackie for doing all of that. Okay, go ahead, man. Okay. Our fiscal year 2011 tentative budget is, and this is expenditure, $23,663,806.
23
million. Thank you. The fiscal year 10 number looks a lot higher, and there's one main reason for that, which is that by the time we finish the fiscal year, we've added all of the fund balances from the prior years that carry over within programs. Into the budgets for those programs. We haven't done that yet for most of the programs in the fiscal year 11 budget. So when we're here next year, the fiscal year 11 will look more like the fiscal year 10 does now, and the fiscal year 12 similar to the 11. It's just a matter of that fund balance being put into our accounting. So don't think those two numbers to mean that they're really that different. Our actual expenditures will be very similar. Okay, this just gives you an indication of revenue sources to give you an idea of kind of where they're going year to year. Our local revenues are going up substantially from fiscal year 10 to fiscal year 11. Part of that is the growth in the tax rate, and part of that is that we have less taxes coming in from the state and more coming in from our local taxes. It's just kind of a shift that we see every year, it seems. And so in our state monies, you'll see that they actually do go down some from fiscal year 10 to 11. And our federal monies go down quite a bit. And the main reason for that is the loss of one-time Recovery and Reinvestment Act funds that we received this year. Any questions? Also, you'll notice, can you go back one?
Use the left arrow key.
What are you thinking?
Use the left arrow key.
Yeah. Okay. Right. You'll see in the fund balance there what I'm talking about, how we have a ton of fund balance in our budget for fiscal year 10 and very little for fiscal year 11. Mm-hmm. So that's the difference that you saw in those previous numbers. Okay, go ahead. Okay, this is just to give you a little bit of a breakdown in our federal RF funding that we received this year. $1.3 million, and the stabilization with this basic money, then we received Title I IDEA and IDEA preschool RF funds. With the exception of the stabilization, which we did spend all this year, the other three programs, if I'm thinking right, will all have fund balance that will carry over into this next year. They can be spent up until September 30th of 2011. So it's just fine to carry those funds over. We haven't spent them all yet, so that's what we do with them.
In case you're wondering where the noise is, the talking you hear is coming from, it's not aliens or ghosts. It's every time a coal truck goes past, we pick up the Citizen Band radio frequency and sound system. So we hope that the language remains clean as it comes to
Otherwise,
you guys
will get a bad
move.
Okay. I wanted to give you just a brief picture of state funding. The general word that went out was that education was held harmless, and I want to show you why we weren't actually held harmless in our state funding. If you look at the top, we had RS stabilization funding and state Social Security and retirement funding this year that totaled $1.4 million. Obviously, the RF funding is going away, and in our state funding for next year was increased to $1,087,000, but if you take the difference between that and the $1.4 million that we received this year, it's actually a reduction of $330,000. Fortunately for us, we received some growth funding finally this year, and I won't go into that too much because it's really not growth funding, but we're going to call it that. But at the end of the day, we still are seeing a little over $150,000 reduction in our state funding. So, you know, that's the net effect. Districts that have no growth, that are losing enrollment, would have really been hurt with the way things kind of flowed out in the legislative session this year. Now, I will say that under the circumstances, I don't know that our legislature, I think they did well with the funds that they had. It's just a tough situation all around. Okay, I want to talk just briefly about our certified tax rate. In fiscal year 10, the state basic levy is a levy that the school district has no control over. It's set statewide, and we just take whatever the levy is, and those revenues are generated on a local level. And then however much are generated on a local level, that's taken out of other state funding. So we don't actually get extra from our state basic levy if it goes up or down. It's basically an equalization formula for the state.
It floats up and down, so if you have basically the same amount of money, they change the tax rate so that you, rather than allow it, you know, if the rate goes up, they're not giving you more money. They float it down so you get the same amount of money.
Generally, the rate would go off if the assessed valuation throughout the state went down. So that's kind of how it works. You'll notice that it did go up this year, and we just got this number late today, the 00-1495. That is the state basic levy rate for next year. And then you'll also notice that our school district rates are going up also. And if we go to the next one, I'll explain that. This is a breakdown of all of our different school district rates that the school district has control over. They do go up a little bit next year, and that is technically an increase in the certified tax rate. However, this year is kind of a unique situation because there was new legislation passed a year ago which said that the certified tax rate is going to be moved down by the average amount of redemptions that the school district has received over 5 years. And this gets kind of into the details of property tax, but redemptions are taxes that should have been paid in prior years but are being paid now, delinquent taxes, etc. And so what they're doing is taking what really would have been our certified tax rate and bumping it down by the amount of redemptions that we received over the last 5 years. But in that law, they said you can actually bump it back up to what it would have been without that, and you don't have to go through truth in taxation this year. Next year, if we do the same thing, we'll have to go through truth in taxation. This year, we don't have to. That's the way the law is written. So what you're seeing in fiscal year 11 are actually what our certified tax rates would have been had those redemptions not been taken out. So even though it appears to be an increase in the tax rate, it really is equal to what it would have been without that new legislation. Does that make sense? Okay. Any questions on the tax rate? Okay. Expenditures by category, this is just to give you an idea of where we spend our money. And these numbers end up being very similar year to year, percentage-wise anyway. Salary and benefits are the bulk of what we spend. And this is inflated a little bit by the fact that all of that fund balance is in these numbers, especially in supplies. So we're not actually spending all of this money. A lot of it's fund balance that's sitting in programs but not being used. So if you were to actually take salaries and benefits, it would be higher than the 67 or 68% that you see there. But nevertheless, hopefully that gives you an idea of what we spend our money on. And this is the same for 2011. Again, this one doesn't have the inflation of the fund balance, so you see a little bit more what the salaries and benefits set up here than a higher percentage. Any questions on that?
Yes, I have a question. On the professional, so that includes, does that include steps and lanes? Is it just?
No,
okay.
That's all in salaries and benefits.
Okay.
The professional line, the 300 line, is typically trainings.
Okay.
Whether that's paying for employees to go to trainings or bringing in professionals from the outside to perform services for the district.
Okay.
Why is there two lines for property? 400 and 700.
Oh, well, they're called the same. 400 is, 700 is our property, like, buildings, grounds, etc. 400, Jackie, we only have one or two lines. Can you help me?
Okay. It's
telephone,
really.
Utilities.
Utilities.
Okay.
Thanks for the question. Any other? Expenditures by funds. This just shows you how within these funds where the expenditures are. I don't see anything in particular that I wanted to point out there. Unless there are any questions.
Oh, okay. We're going to spend $2 million less than 11?
Yeah, again, that's probably the fund. Mm-hmm.
The fund balance thing? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, significant changes for fiscal year 11 budget. One of the things that came down in all of our meetings this year was that we receive it's the 10% of basic levy, which you would have seen back on our tax rate. Typically, that has always gone straight into our capital fund, Fund 32. But what they're saying is anything that law was passed and use that money for supplies and equipment for education. And what they're saying is really the way districts should have been doing this was dividing that levy and putting some of it in Fund 10 for all of the supplies and then the rest for equipment in Fund 32. So in our general fund, we now have to split this levy up. So what you're going to see is in our general fund, there's a higher amount of revenue and a higher amount of expenditures because half of that levy will be in that fund for next year. Huh. And in the capital fund, there will be that amount less. It comes out to be almost exactly 50% that we need to put in each fund. But that is one thing that you'll notice on the fiscal year 11 budget is that there is a change in accounting there. Again, the debt service fund is not budgeted. I already mentioned that. And then we are also including in our budget $75,000 in capital funding for general fund purposes, which is for salaries. This is a law that was passed this year to help districts get through the financial situation.
It's allowed for 2 years.
For fiscal years 11 and 12. We have budgeted that for this year. And part of our budget hearing is that we need to make sure that that information is public and so on. We don't know if we will do this again next year. We'll have to see what our budget situation is then. Okay, trends for the fiscal year 11 budget. I did mention this, but more local funding and less state and federal funding. There's a jump in retirement expenditures due to higher rates. A jump in insurance due to higher rates, that's not atypical. You see that every year. The retirement is a new thing. And more expenditures in general fund and less in capital due to that transfer that I talked about. Okay, that's what I wanted to present, and I'd be happy to try to answer any questions any way that you have.
Are there any other questions from anyone Jared can clarify for us?
I can only say that the last several years have been extremely difficult budget years. I think, however, though, as Utah is unique in the nation, our school district has been a little bit unique in the state in that we have been able to may transition a little more smoothly than the rest of the state in the budget area, in the budget deficit that you hear on the news. And of course, Utah, when compared to California, that has a 25% shortfall in their state budget. It's an enormous difference. So.
I would like to credit some of that to the management and the careful watching of the money in our district, and we appreciate that too. I think that needs to be said. Okay, if there's no discussion on it, we need a motion to declare the public hearing closed and general session reconvened.
Do we need to pass it first?
When I'll move the door to general session then.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? And then we need a motion to adopt the final legal budget for fiscal year 2010 as presented to us by Jared.
I'll make that motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, we need to adjourn to a public hearing number 2. So we need a motion to adjourn the regular meeting to public hearing for the purpose of receiving public comment on the tentative budget for fiscal year 2011.
I'll move that we move to public hearing.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
I do have a couple of comments.
Okay,
I don't want anyone else to. The changes that I gave you a copy of the budget in your packet and then another one tonight. And one other thing I wanted to mention for anyone interested is that our budget is also now available online on our website, as well as all of our financial reports from the last about 10 to 12 years. Also can be accessed anytime on our website. The changes that were made between the two copies that I gave you, I adjusted for our final tax rate. That was very minimal. We made the changes in putting the 10% of basic levy into the two different funds.
Mm-hmm.
We also adjusted two or three lines in our capital outlay funding, land and its improvements in textbook adoption to match the expenditures, and then well, those would have been for this year, and then also adjusted for an adult ed software grant that we just arranged for today. So
okay.
Yeah, they're all pretty small adjustments in the overall scope of the budget, but kind of to make sure you're aware of them.
Okay. Any comments or discussion on that? Okay.
Really exciting stuff.
Yeah. Then we need a motion to declare the hearing closed and the general session reconvened.
I'll move so.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Then we need now a motion to adopt a resolution approving the final tax rates as presented. It should be noted that the total proposed tax rate does exceed the certified tax rate by 0.000038, an amount equal to the average value of redemption over the last 5 years. In subsequent years, this will require a truth in taxation hearing in August. However, Utah law exempts the district from holding that hearing this year. So, I'm going to so move. Thank you.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? So then, we need a motion to adopt the proposed tentative budget for fiscal year 2010 as presented, including the final tax rate previously approved.
I'll make that motion.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. I think we...
Good thing that's just once a year.
Okay. Now we can go to the consent agenda, the warrants and minutes from May 2010 meeting, and the financial report from April and May 2010. Are there any questions on that? Any comments? Okay.
I would make a motion that we accept them as we have received them. I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, we have a request to participate in Junior High Activities Association from Green River High School.
As you know, we have not been a part of the junior high league that exists. Santa Fe Canyon View, and then the three exclusive tribes, Mount Harmon, Helper, and Orion Cartman District, and Pinnacle Canyon. And so we just kind of schedule our home games as we've been able to. I've played most of them in Moab in Grand County on a couple of occasions. We've exceeded our privileges and gone to San Juan. Because we have difficulty scheduling otherwise, it'll be more expensive for us as a school to participate in the association, but it'll be more expensive for the district probably because of transportation. Last year, our transportation for volleyball, I think played about five different matches. Three of those were traveling matches and for junior high girls, and we took a suburban on all of those. If we had more individuals involved, it would be more travel. With six schools, that would mean five trips for volleyball, so that we had one home trip for each of those other five schools. And then in basketball, both boys and girls would travel together, and so it would be five trips there, which that was what we had last year between the girls and the boys. For transportation, we took five trips for junior high basketball last year. So overall, it's not going to be a major burden expense-wise. Their cost to us to join our association, the Castle Valley Athletic Association, is, I think, $500. We've asked them to give us a break because we won't be participating in all their activities, and we won't be participating on a varsity level. We'll just be participating in junior high or 7th and 8th grade level with them. Which they are wanting to accept us because they've got five schools now. Pinnacle Canyon has been accepted into the Utah High School Activities Association, and so they will not be participating in the future on the varsity level either. Their ninth graders will compete with the high school in the High School Activities Association. So
1A.
And they have been put in our region 19. So Green River High School will compete with Pinnacle Canyon in athletics. But this would also put us competing with them in junior high athletics too, and this would give our students a schedule, number of games, automatic, without some of the hassle of trying to find opportunities to compete with some of the other schools like Grand High or Grand County Junior High. Last year, I don't think we played either. I think it was Kennedy either time, not even anything, because we just couldn't come up with a schedule where we could compete with Kennedy. We did schedule San Rafael a couple of games, and one in volleyball, and I think two in basketball. But they've got the league schedule, and it makes it very difficult for us to participate with them because we're not in the league. So our request is, could we please join the association? I have gone to the meetings. They've got a public agenda, or on a calendar schedule for games next year. We will have to make arrangements for coaching still, and we haven't given them a final yes, we're coming. And that's why I'm here tonight to make that proposal to you. Any questions?
So you wouldn't go to Moab after that?
We would not. We would just participate in that.
I think it would be a really good thing for the association to create some new rivalries.
Mm-hmm. And the kids, as far as time out of school, it will be comparable then.
We actually will have less time out of school than the junior highs over here.
No, but what you have in the past.
Yeah, it would be about the same as we've done in the past.
And we got all the student body to go, right? I mean, number of kids.
That is the biggest concern, is we'll have enough students who will participate. And that's been one of the things that held us back. We had a sophomore class this last year of 12 students, and when they were in that junior high year, in those junior high years, we just didn't have the number to participate in the league. And just looking down through the elementary for several years now, I think we've got the numbers and the interest. And that's why we haven't pursued this seriously, but that's why we want to do it now. It looks like we've got the numbers.
It'll get some of the kids to keep their grades up if they know that there's a possibility of playing, too.
Hopefully.
But that's been a problem, too.
It has been a problem.
Well, I'd make a motion that we allow them to participate in the junior high activities association.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Well, thank you. Good luck. We have some personnel actions and needs for approval.
We have some child nutrition changes. I'm going to present two of those, and then I'm going to have Jared, for obvious reasons, to present the other. I haven't had any involvement in that, but we have Terry Belotus, who is not returning next year, sent her resignation. I think I sent a copy of her letter to you. And to replace her, we're going to replace that position with instead of 5 hour or 6 hour, with a 2 hour and a 3 hour person. And so we have Kaylin Wynn, the lunch worker, 2 hours a day, and Mindy Crawford, 3 hours per day. And I recommend the board approve those two positions.
I move that we approve them.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Thank you. And then Jared has another one.
Okay.
We have for the warehouse position with the child nutrition program part-time, we held interviews and had 7 candidates, 4 came to the interviews, and we would like to recommend Drew Citrud for that position. The committee felt unanimously that he was the best candidate. We wanted to recommend his name.
How do you know Drew?
He's a cousin.
I'll move that we approve his name for that position. I'll second that. Hey, all in favor? Aye. Any opposed? I think the minutes probably should reflect that law. Yeah, they stand from voting on that. They will. Okay, we have some policy actions. Yes, we have. And
this came from some discussion I think I've had with you in the past several months ago, when we talked about our acceptable use agreements that have to do with the use of our networks, our computers, and updating those with current terminology is basically all we've done there. And Marie, I did get the one grammar. But I want you to know that's been there forever. That one was already in the policy. That wasn't mine. But we'll correct that one, grammatic error. But the terminology in the policy EHC and IJNDC, which is your acceptable use policy, there's only terminology changed to reflect the current terminology in technology today.
Right.
So there are no major, no real changes in that policy other than the term use of the words internet and other things that we changed a little bit. The other policy, IJNDCA, educator employee use of web pages. Obviously, this has come about because of the popularity and the use of social network sites. And the concerns not only at the state level, but local level, about those sites and how they're used and how teachers and students interact using social network sites, and personal websites. It also deals with the use of instructional teacher websites for instructional purposes that are part of the district website, which we encourage for instructional purposes, but it does also deals with personal websites or personal social networking and how the relationship between teachers and students should be handled in those situations. I hope you've had a chance to look at those. I did send them to Kim to look at a little bit. Jack, yeah, I haven't had a chance to talk to you about, but... I recommend that the board approve the revisions to the accessible use policy and the new policy on use of web pages.
Okay. Is there any discussion on that?
I would only say maybe we need to visit this one every year with the ever-changing web and the
way it changes so,
rapidly that you know, it can probably be reviewed often and maybe changed often.
Did you make a motion?
I'm making a motion that we approve the one that we've been presented with.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Thank you.
We have a change for July board meeting date from July 7th to the 21st at 7 p.m.
Yeah, as we look at the calendar, we recognize that the next board meeting is scheduled in 2 weeks. And there also is a conflict in state meetings that had to do with, particularly with Jared and the business side of the school district that is on the 7th and 8th. So we'd like to recommend to the board that we move our July board meeting from July 7th to July 21st. At the same time here at 7 o'clock at the district office.
Is there any conflict with those?
No? I would make a motion that we change this to the 23rd.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Approval of surplus vehicles list.
No, we have.
Oh, approval of the fee schedule, sorry.
Yeah, our annual approval of fee schedule, we have had some requests from former schools for some minor increases in the fees with increased costs. Gwen is handing you the policy of the fee schedule, and I think also she has the last page includes some proposed changes that she can review with you.
Yeah,
and the rationale behind those.
The last major revision to this, well, last year the only revision that was done to the fee schedule was the driver's education, changing the driver's ed too. The rest of them haven't been changed for, I want to say, if I remember right, it's been 4 years, at least maybe five, since many of these were changed. On the last page, I went to there and put the specific changes. The input for these changes came from the secondary principal and from Ed Clark, who was over the vocational program, and most of these were increases in the vocational area. We also removed ag mechanics, librarian, FFM, and senior high level because we no longer teach those classes. So, one shopping, one of them went out to $1.50, cooking from $10 to $12 on the junior high level. So a lot of them were under $5 and a few of them were $5 increases. The food classes are extremely hard for schools to cover that, the cost of the food for the classes.
This is high school?
And the tech classes, yes. Junior high would be up by $2, and the high school up by $5. And when they're cooking 3 to 4 times a week, and
the college
union
is
selling all of the, it's very difficult for the budget to cover that.
No, they're up by $5 or by, sometimes up by $10.
Okay, the first from 15 to 25, that would be on the high school level. They'd be much more, and it's much more familiar. The cooking on number 6 and the junior high from 10 to 12 would be $2 increase.
The food class, that's per semester?
That would be 4 years.
Okay.
The junior high ones are semester.
Okay. Yeah.
And is there only an athletic participation fee in junior high but not in high school?
No, there is in high school.
They pay it one time.
Isn't that on the
schedule?
It's
not a way. I'm not sure it's a waivable fee. That's why it's probably not listed. Anything over here is waivable.
Oh, okay.
And the athletic fee is not a waivable fee, so it's probably not listed on here. Although the policy requires it to be paid, but it's only paid once, and then if they're involved in multiple sports, they're only paying it once.
Annually.
I think it's like annual.
Once they are,
no matter how many sports they participate in,
they only pay it for 2 sports, regardless of how many.
Okay, that's what it says on the junior high level. Yeah. That's nothing on the high school level.
It's under participation fee for activities on page 3, I believe.
Oh, there it is. Okay.
So that is not.
No, wait a minute. Yes, it is.
It is waivable.
It is waivable.
Okay. I thought it was.
What I was referring to or thinking about was the fact that it was not something that they had to pay for every sport, and that it was because of the extracurricular nature of it. Yes, it is waivable. Anything on here is waivable if there's salary.
Okay. Any questions on that? Okay, then. Motion is in order. Thanks for gathering that, Gwen.
Well, I move that we accept the request for fee schedule as being presented.
Okay.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Now we go to the surplus vehicle first.
Transportation Department sent over this list of surplus vehicles. We initially had six, and the sixth one was a big trailer truck that they use very infrequently. In talking to maintenance, they really wanted to keep that vehicle because when they do need it, it's very useful, so we scratched that one from the list.
Oh, okay.
Do you want to recommend those first five that are on the list to be declared surplus? Mm-hmm. This allows us to advertise in the paper to sell.
That's pretty normal, 2 buses a year. But
it is.
That's what we're on. Okay. Any questions on that?
It doesn't seem like that many miles to me for that older vehicle. 15 years old and 150,000 miles.
Yeah, the buses?
Yeah.
And you know, probably the reality is if we really push them and put some mechanical money, we could probably get more miles out of them. I think with one mechanic in the district, we tried to, I guess, reasonably take the vehicle to where, I guess, in a cost-benefit analysis, it's not worth the time and the effort to put the upgrading to them.
So you can sell these when they're in a little bit better shape and they have more mileage, is that what you're saying?
Well, I mean, possibly. We usually don't sell the buses for that much, but I think the thing is with one mechanic, the transportation department's in a position where they have to have a balance between spending a lot of time on the older vehicles and not having too many vehicles to take care of. How many buses?
How many do we have?
We probably have close to 25. Okay. That would be within 2 or 3, I'm pretty certain.
Okay.
Well, basically around about 15 year rotation, about 2 years. So it's right, between 25 and 30 buses. But we'll run for about 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, any longer than that, then you have diminishing returns, and like Jared said, you have to hire more mechanics to keep them going.
So with all the start and stop, there's probably a lot more wear on
buses. Well, and long distance students, you don't want to put them in a bus that's going to be
wear on. Our buses do get wear and tear.
Yeah, they do.
I've ridden the 84 ones. I don't want to ride on them.
Okay, is there a motion in order then? Is someone like to make a motion on that?
I'll make a motion that we sell.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, approval of project funding for 2010-11 city built house.
We sell the one, yeah.
We did. Yeah, just to update you, we just complete the sale of the house that was just done last year.
Mm-hmm. It
was
nice. I love the plan on the house.
It
was really nice. I like that.
It's a little bit upgraded because of when we bought the lot down that street, there are some restrictive covenants that require a few upgrades, but we were able to sell it for more money, and it ended up being just fine.
Okay.
Like it has in past years. We'll just request, and this is built into the budget, but $150,000 budget for the construction of a house next year, which I'm assuming would be just to the north of the one that was built this year. I don't know that for sure, but that's where I'm guessing the one built.
Well, I think that's a terrific program.
It is.
I wonder if they did that
great
program.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Who made the motion?
I did. Okay, we have approval of a bus rental to Huntington City for the July 3rd Sun Run.
I did put a copy of the contract.
That was very helpful.
This is the standard contract that we approved, I don't remember, but at least a few months ago for these situations. Risk management has indicated to the district that we can rent to other government entities as long as we have a signed contract and proof of insurance that corresponds to the requirements that are in the contract. And we will get those from Huntington City. They've requested for their fun run with the Heritage Days to have one bus to take runners up the canyon. And it should just be one quick run and they'll be done.
Double damage.
Yeah, Janice told me that they should be able to get a driver for that. So they're ready to go along.
Okay.
And
we just got one
now. Well, I would make a motion that we approve it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, driver's education wages.
And I included another copy of the analysis that we looked at before on this. But, of course, last year we increased the fees to $100 to be more equitable. Like I told you before, the state office almost laughed when I told them that we only charged $40 for driver's ed. So we increased that fee. And in looking at the program and the teachers of that program, haven't had a raise in at least several years. I don't know how long, but I know it's before I got here. And
I think it was before I got here.
It was a long time ago. The program, if you look at the numbers there, can't absorb an increase. All of the money is for an increase would be paid for specifically with the driver's ed education funding. It doesn't impact any other programs or funds in the district. And I think that my recommendation would be to peg this to step one of the teacher's salary schedule, simply so that when there's an increase in that schedule, the teachers for driver's ed see an increase and we don't have to revisit this every few years to evaluate it. However, if you just want to go with a flat rate, I've included, if we did, currently it's $17. If we did 19 or 21, you have those numbers available if you want to consider that also.
Jared, I have a concern with tying it directly to step one just because that needs to stay self-supporting. And if that moves and the fee stays the same, it won't. I would rather look at it individually as it comes up. That's my feeling about it.
Well, I can understand what you're saying. If there's need to stay within the
budget. Within the.
Yeah, you probably have to increase the fee periodically to match that.
Okay.
I'm just not sure we'll keep track of it unless if it's just automatically tied to the pay schedule.
So what would you recommend?
Well, we would if we were in the hall.
The two options are one and just increasing this time and look at it.
Yeah, which is the 19th.
If you're going to go off the flat rate, I would recommend you go to the average of what people pay throughout the state. At least just average, not above average.
I would feel more comfortable doing that.
I don't personally. I think I wouldn't like to increase the rate periodically either. I think that puts a great burden on students and their parents.
So I would make a motion that we increase their wage to the line that we have listed as average.
Okay. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, Child Nutrition Program Director contract year.
And I didn't include any materials in the packet, but we have discussed this prior.
Mm-hmm.
And the director's position years and years ago was reduced from a four-year schedule to 11 months. And with the addition of the, particularly with the addition of the summer lunch program, it's my opinion that position needs to be a full 12 years, just in looking at the work that...
12 years?
12 years.
That
would be mandatory for the work that is required by that position now. I think it would be justifiable if the summer lunch program went away to reevaluate that at that time.
Is there only summer lunch, or is there summer breakfast also?
Just summer lunch.
Yeah, lunch program. Like again, your own program is self-supporting. It's not supported by other district funds.
And it has to be self-supported. It's strictly on a reimbursement basis per the number of lunches that are served.
Now, some of this program has been tremendously successful. And
it ran positive last year.
Through the summertime.
It runs June and July, all the way through both months. And then the remainder of the summer, you know, there's a lot of reporting and preparation for the next year that needs to be done.
So... We want to move that schedule from an 11-month contract to a 12-month contract.
That would be my recommendation. And again, this is another position like driver's ed where the funding is specifically within that program. It doesn't affect any other aspects of the district budget.
I think if we readdress the existing okay, is there a motion?
I'll make the motion. On a
7-month
basis.
Mm-hmm. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay.
This is a comment I stopped by the Theron Elementary School, and it was just quite gratifying to see the kids there and the participation with Theron. I think one day last week they served 170 kids.
Wow.
Some days it's down, but it's great.
And Huntington Elementary had one day with over 200 this summer also. I know. So they have been serving more than last year. In other districts, that's been very typical that the program grows year to year.
Okay. We have approval and awarding of the carpeting bid.
I apologize for not getting these in your packet, but if you want to take a minute to let those go over. The district received three bids for carpeting, one from Affordable Flooring, one from Certified Sales and Service, and one from Joseph Russo Flooring, Joseph Russo Flooring. The low bid was from Certified Sales and Service for $18,888.57. Was significantly less than the other two bids, and I would recommend, upon the recommendation of Fairway for maintenance supervisor, that we award that bid to Certified Sales and Service.
Where are they at?
Salt Lake. They hold the state contract for carpeting, so their pricing is off of that contract.
Any questions on that?
No. It might be super local, but without much of a
difference.
I move that we accept the bid from Certified Sales and Service.
Second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Approval and awarding of roofing bid.
On your second page, we received, I believe it was six, received seven, but one was after bid closing. And of those six bids, and this is for roofing projects at Cottonwood and Farron Elementaries, fairly significant roofing projects. The low bid is from All Weather Roofing, another company from the Wasatch Front area. I'm not sure exactly which city, but up there, for $112,029. The bids went up to $137,000. Terry, who took all of them around on a tour of the projects before bids were received, was really impressed with All Weather Roofing without any prior experience. We do try to get a feel for their company and how they are. He was really impressed, thought they were thorough, with their questioning, and he didn't have any problem with recommending all whether it was.
Okay. Any questions on that?
Well, I would make the motion then that we accept all weather roofing.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, we have the report from superintendent.
Most of what I have is on the other part of the agenda. However, I do want to recognize in this meeting, we're all aware of the loss of one of our teachers this past month, Daryl Gardner, a teacher at Emory High School, in a tragic accident. We certainly recognize his passing. We also want to recognize short period of time the loss of our board president's mother, Laurel. And also the recognize the passing of Perry MacArthur, who is the wife and father to three of our custodians. Husband and father, excuse me, wife, yeah. The husband and father of, husband of one of our custodians, and also father to two of our custodians, as well as the father-in-law to one of our education assistants. And I think it'd be, certainly I'd feel remiss if I didn't recognize those in board meeting. And I know that we have some students here who have come to comment in that regard. Other than that, we've had some issues with email, getting any emails from our school district site to those who have etv.net. We're trying to resolve that, been working on that now for a couple of months. Still haven't had a resolution in working with ETV, trying to figure out what the problem is, but we're trying to get three of you to have ETV.net emails onto the school district email and so that we can have communication that way. But other than that, I don't have anything.
We have the business administrator.
It's only required, I can tell you that.
Sure.
I don't have any.
Okay, I think we do have some public comments. It's the time for Mr. Moss and the students who'd like to come up.
Thank you for your time. I'm not here on my own account, but I'm here for Jake Fawcett, who was unable to attend. I told him I would come in his place. So I'd like to introduce Cole Butterson and Stephen Giles.
Yeah, as I said, I'm here with Jake Fawcett in Cedar City, so I guess we're just kind of looking for feedback. The request is that, Daryl Gardner, I guess a memorial or a monument of sorts to be placed somewhere on the high school and we had ground on the campus and near the track preferably. Just something inspirational. We wanted to kind of input to see if that was a possibility or not, because I'm sure you've probably heard rumors and stuff of people, but we just wanted to come to you guys and see if there was a possibility of doing anything like that.
Would this be a project where students would raise funds then?
Students, there's a lot of signatures that we have of people supporting it, so I don't think that would really be a real problem. We have a lot of support with it.
We appreciate that, and we can sense your concern and your love for him, and we'll certainly address that and look into it. Thank you for presenting that.
I'm sure that the board would be interested in any specific ideas that may be out there. It has not been, and not just with this board, with other boards, it has not been the practice of the board to name facilities or buildings or other things after employees. We've had the, you know, for the last 50 years there have been requests, and that has not been the practice of the school district. It becomes very political in nature. But we do have, I know we do have a Huntington Elementary. There's been a bench placed there with an engraving on the bench in honor of a teacher who was a current employee who passed away. I don't know particularly of any other than that. But I don't suppose the board would be opposed to some kind of a recognition that way. But in a way that's appropriate and not making our school grounds and facilities, memorials.
That's kind of what I was thinking of. We're just kind of thinking we have some sort of something to recognize and not really name anything after them, because that's kind of really drastic.
Mm-hmm.
If we were going to do that, I would suggest waiting 5 years and see what the emotions are, because you know how emotions run really high. So just something kind of small we can do that, if you guys had ideas, and we're just thinking something kind of just a little memorial. I don't know why that thing is something.
So maybe you can report back to us what you've come down this thing.
You may want to even walk over to Huntington Elementary by the front entrance and see what was done there, just to look at it, if there are ideas that can be generated that way.
And we just went up to Camp Pike above Mount Pleasant, and they had a memorial out there in front of their swimming pool for someone. You might look at something like that, because that looks pleasing to the eye.
We would also probably need to look at the ways to generate some funding for it rather than tax dollars.
Okay, we wanted to see if there was a possibility for us to improve it, get us funding to do that.
I think the proposal we put would definitely consider something that was very modest and very thoughtful. Okay.
And we appreciate your willingness to spearhead that project.
Yeah.
You meant a lot to a lot of people.
Yep, he did. He greatly missed. Thank you so much. Okay, any other public comments that we haven't addressed? Okay, I think we have items for consideration in closed meetings. So we need a...
I'm moving to closed meetings for personnel items.
Right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Thank you all for coming. Appreciate you being here and thanks for taking your time.
This is not going to be a long term thing, I don't think, to stand in the meeting, but we do need some help with math there. And so I would present Gary Goldman and Sam Parsons for board approval.
Okay. Is there a motion or any question?
I'll make a motion that we accept them.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any others?
I second
that.
Aye. Any opposed?
How long are you going to spend in Abu?
We're going to be there a full 4 days.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, I've been there 3 or 4 times.
Are you flying?
No.
This is only the second time, and it's changed a lot since my first.
Yeah, we haven't been there since the temple. We rented a home at 5 miles south of Nauvoo that has a swimming pool, a trail on the Mississippi River, has a game room, and room for 15 people.
Oh, wow.
There's room for you and your family if you
want to
go with you.
Oh, that's fantastic.
He refused, Dad. He wouldn't have written.